Welcome back, folks. Second hour of War Room is on. We'll be joined by third hour, and we'll bring you any results as we get it, any breaking news as we get it. In fact, we do have some breaking news about Jim Jordan. We'll get into Arctic Frost here in just a second. I gotta continue to rag on the concept of democracy for a little while. Because this is the type of thing, it's like, this shouldn't exist. The fact that it does exist is a problem that needs to be fixed. Now, this isn't in America, but it's something that would happen in America. I don't think anybody would be surprised if something like this happened. We're going to clip 23 here. This is a woman in Canada, and I wonder if I should set this up or just respond to it. I'll just respond to it. This is a woman in Canada named Leah Gazin, interesting name, who is introducing a bill in Canadian Parliament to criminalize residential school denialism. Okay, like Holocaust denialism or climate change denialism. This is now a new thing that will be illegal to deny, despite the fact that it doesn't exist and never happened. Let's watch.
Hello, my name is Leah Gazin. I'm the NDP MP for Winnipeg Centre. Today I will be reintroducing my bill to recognize residential school denialism as a form of inciting hate. You know, it's been over a decade since the release of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Canada. And since that time, we have seen, since the discovery of unmarked graves, an increase in denialism about what occurred in the residential schools. This is horrific, particularly because all members of Parliament unanimously supported my motion in 2022 to recognize what happened in residential schools as an act of genocide, the first genocide that was recognized within Canadian borders. At a time where we are looking at, once again, building a nation on the backs of Indigenous peoples around our lands, territories, and resources in the name of national interest, in violation of constitutionally enshrined Indigenous rights. If this government is serious about reconciling with Indigenous people, it must ensure the protection of survivors. It was the stories of survivors and our families that put us on a path towards reconciliation.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm calling
okay,
on the
we
government.
Don't need to listen to this woman anymore. She is introducing a bill to make it illegal to deny the existence of residential schools and their attempt to commit a genocide against the Native people. Something that never happened. Something that the Canadian government has spent tens of millions of dollars trying to prove, and they've come up with nothing. There's no evidence that there was ever any mass death at residential schools. But there's still survivors, apparently. You didn't know this. Typically, we use the word graduates, but if you want to make yourself seem like a victim, you are a survivor of school, okay? I, personally, am a high school survivor, all right? I survived public school in Houston, Texas, probably a greater feat than surviving residential schools in Canada. And do we need to remind you of this? Fraser Institute. A year ago, no evidence of mass grave or genocide at residential schools. They spent tens of millions of dollars scanning with ground-penetrating radar every single school that was claimed to have a mass unmarked grave for children that died there. Not a single body was found. Not that, well, they found bodies, but it wasn't that many. Not a single body was ever found by the tens of millions of dollars studies to scan the ground of residential schools. It doesn't exist. It never happened. And now Canada wants to make it illegal for you to say that. By the way, over 120 churches were burned in the follow-up to this lie that the residential schools committed genocide. And now they want to make it illegal to question that, even though it never happened.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. Just to round off what I was just talking about and the way that our so-called democracy has been completely wrecked and destroyed by the Democrats to the point that I think extraordinary measures are not just justified but kind of required. Gets back to where we were. Let's go to clip number one here. This is Stephen Miller laying out the treason that the Biden-Harris administration committed against the American people and how this can't be allowed to continue unabated. Let's watch Steve Miller now.
Is it for your audience perfectly, Sean. This was not a loophole. The Biden administration, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, devised a scheme to fly illegal aliens into the country and then to escort them en masse across the border by the millions and to give them something known as parole, which gives them a work permit, which gives them a social security number, which gives them access to the voting booth. This was the plan all along, to get them here illegally so they can get free government benefits, get hooked to welfare, and be able to participate in American elections. This was an attack on democracy by the Democrat Party. It's the same attack that we see, Sean, when you have California, a sanctuary state, that is refusing to turn over even illegal alien criminals and gang members to ICE. So these are illegal aliens in California who have been arrested by California police, by California law enforcement for serious crimes, for crimes against children, for felonies, for crimes that threaten public safety, and they are refusing to hand these criminal illegal aliens over to ICE. Instead, they're freeing them back into the cities to offend and offend again. By any definition, what California is doing is criminal. It is a violation of our laws. It is one of the most heinous things that I have seen in my entire...
Yeah, no, it was just literally open treason. They had no right to do any of this. There's no law that said they were allowed to do this. They just did it. And it has to be corrected. This has to be undone. The people that did it have to be imprisoned and possibly given the death penalty for the treason they committed. Congress never voted to open the border. There was no law that said, you know, the extremely stringent requirements for asylum can just be overridden by pressing a button on an app. Extraordinary measures are not just justified, they are necessary at this point to get us back on track. And, you know, Steve Bannon obviously has been going off about this. Alex was going off about this. This is not something that you need to be told. It shouldn't be something that you need to be told. The solutions are so obvious and so apparent. The only question is, why aren't they being done? Why aren't the gloves being taken off? It's not like the things I express up here are like brilliant original ideas most of the time. It's just obvious. It's just obvious what needs to be done. And it's just not being done. And again, I know, you know, it's like when you have Bannon and Jones and Roger Stone and all of them just going, hey, guys, rip the gloves off, send the FBI in. You control them now. Give them the coordinates of the enemies and say, go fetch, boy. You control them now. You are the master. They are the dog. Send them to do your bidding. And your bidding should be unrepentant, unqualified aggression against the left in every way you can possibly manage. And do it in a way that is just, it doesn't have to be above reproach. You just have to not pay attention to the reproach. It's just, you just need to do it. You just need to do it. And they will whine and they will cry. They are whining. They are crying about things that are perfectly legal and totally justified. They're crying about ICE arresting illegal immigrant criminals and sending them back to their home countries, something that doesn't harm anybody, doesn't even harm the person that's being arrested and sent back. They're going home to where they are a citizen and where they've spent their entire lives up to the last 4 years when they scrabbled over the border. It's not even a punishment, really. They're outraged at that. They're calling you a Nazi from that. They're trying to start a civil war over that. So who cares? So who cares what they say? When you have a mayor of a major city like Chicago saying, come arrest me, I dare you, because I'm in support of the criminals and not the law enforcement, then go and arrest them and charge them with something. Hey, it turns out they've got the right judge. They've got a jury that's sympathetic. They get out. Fine. A year or two from now, after spending 6 months in solitary confinement, they can be free, just like the Oath Keepers, just like the January Sixers were allowed to be free. It's exhausting having to say this over and over. I feel like we say it every single day. I feel like everybody who is worth anything in the MAGA right understands this. The administration, it can't possibly be that they don't understand this. It can't possibly be that they think that the way things are going are good, because they're just not. So the only thing we're left to understand, the only conclusion we're able to even come to, is like the Trump administration is deliberately not doing what they need to do. Again, I celebrate when Trump does good things. I love that the border is closed. I love that there actually are deportations going on. But it's just not enough. It's just not enough. Like, you're starving to death and you're being fed crumbs. And it's like, okay, thank you. I'm still dying, though. And it's like, well, you don't appreciate the crumbs. And it's like, I appreciate it. It's just not enough to save us from dying. So no matter what we get, I will not appreciate it until it's enough. Until it's enough for us to survive. Until it's enough for us to rest easy knowing that we're not all about to be thrown into prison the moment that Democrats weasel their way back into power. We've got to attack, 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 attack with everything you've got. Let the chips fall where they may. And I know Alex was talking about it today as well, and I wanted to give some numbers to back this up. Do you want to see a judicial coup? This is from C3 on X at C_3C_3. You want to see a judicial coup? Court blocks and injunctions. These are the number of injunctions that were imposed on presidential administrations in the past. Biden had 14 in 4 years. Clinton had 12 in 8 years. Obama, equal, 12 in 8 years. George W. Bush only had 6 in 8 years. Trump has had 175 plus blocks or injunctions in just the first 4 years of his first administration and the 10 months of this administration. I would be interested to know how many of that was in the 10 months of this administration, because I don't remember this being a big issue last time. Maybe it was, but certainly not to the degree that it is now. The judiciary is filled with leftist activists in robes. Corrupt judges must be addressed. Well, I would change that last word out for a different one. Not addressed as much as I would say impeached or imprisoned or just defrocked in one way or another. Defrocked, if not defenestrated. I'm kidding, but if you have the vocabulary to know what that means, you should know I'm joking. Kind of. A little bit. 175 compared to 6 with George W. Bush. Okay. It's not... Is what Trump doing really that offensive? Is he just trying desperately to do a whole bunch of unconstitutional stuff and the judges are heroically stepping into the breach and stopping him? Or is every single one of their injunctions, as far as I can tell, totally fraudulent and almost always get overturned? And almost always, obviously, the outcome of the judge's own activism and personal political predilection. How do you have an executive branch that literally can't get anything done? So the executive branch is being blocked endlessly by this judicial coup, 175 blocks and more versus 6 with George W. Bush, 12 with Obama, 12 with Bill Clinton, 175. So the executive branch can't get anything done because the judiciary steps in and stops them because they are, I'm not trying to overuse the word, I'm trying to express, they are literally activists. Not saying that they're lawyers and judges that happen to vote Democrat. I'm saying most of the judges that are issuing nationwide injunctions and blocks have careers where their resume is entirely with leftist NGOs, leftist networks, leftist activism groups. They basically, some of them don't even go to law school. Some of them aren't even lawyers, but work for a couple years with a leftist NGO whose entire purpose of existing is undermining the laws that exist anyway, trying to get people in, trying to, you know, give people, you know, advice so they can stay in the country even if their visa expires. Like, they spend 20 or 30 years doing that, destroying and subverting our law in the private sector. And then Obama taps them on the head, gives them a black robe, and suddenly they're able to stop Trump's agenda in its tracks. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. There's no reason why we should be beholden to such an obvious abuse of process, such an obvious abuse of power. Those numbers alone, bring up the numbers again. I really want you to soak this in. More than 10 times the number in the case of Biden. What is 175 divided by 6, right? I mean, you cannot justify this. You cannot say that this is the judiciary behaving in the way that it should. This alone should be enough to tell you the judiciary is in fact filled with leftist activists. Their blocks and injunctions are not justified or predicated on the Constitution. They are fraudulent, so they should not be listened to. 175 injunctions in 4 years and 10 months compared to 12 for Clinton and Obama in their 8 years each. Biden had 14 in 4 years. That was the record. 14 in 4 years compared with 175 in 4 years. Again, not to belabor the point, that alone should be presented by Trump. You should just go, we're not doing injunctions anymore. We're not doing blocks anymore. It was a good thing. It was a nice balance of power to have when it was used appropriately. And in fact, it's their abuse of this exact system that makes them so dangerous. Because honestly, who wouldn't be okay with just going, all right, Trump should just not listen to judges anymore. He just shouldn't listen to them. And that, you want to talk about a dangerous precedent. That's a dangerous precedent. That's setting up our entire system for destruction, but we're forced to do it because they're improperly abusing their power. It has to stop. Same as asylum. Is asylum a good thing? Yeah, I think it kind of is. But it has to end now. It has to be over because it was abused, because there were particular prerequisites that had to be fulfilled, and they decided that those just didn't matter anymore. Which means the law isn't what the law was when it was passed, meaning it's not valid anymore, meaning it can't, this can't go on. This can't exist like this. 175 blocks and injunctions in just 4 years of Trump's administration. That's a judicial coup. That is weaponizing the process of our government, not to uphold the values of our divided federal government, but rather to weaponize, to abuse, and to ultimately destroy it. So, you know, Alex was talking about the different, you know, laws actually and prerequisites or predecessors, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, doing more or less this, going, hey, these judges that are my enemies aren't letting me get anything passed. The people voted for me. I'm not going to let a bunch of judges stand in the way of what the people voted for. I'm firing all the judges. Okay, Trump just needs to do that. Something like that. Like literally anything like this. The one thing we cannot do is continue to abide by laws that are set by our enemies, to continue to obey rules that are ignored by our enemies. This is suicidal. Arrest the mayors, arrest the governors, send the military in to do sweeps of illegal immigrants, and just get them out. And just get them out. Into the H-1B visa program. That's another one. Incredibly simple. Just end it. Just end it. Problem solved. This is one of those things. I can show you video after video after video building the argument of why H-1B visas shouldn't be allowed, are abused by every company that's permitted to involve themselves in them. And so many people have done, you know, research on this, and it really is like basically every major company, they have these ways of getting around the system. They have these ways of technically fulfilling the requirements of the law while absolutely violating the spirit of it. And they do this without punishment, without anything. It has to end. Just end it. Just end it. What's the worst that could happen? Americans get hired. Some American companies don't do quite as well as they would otherwise. Big whoop. Who cares? Who cares? End the H-1B visa program today. Did you know what happens when the H-1B visa program ends? Nobody affected negatively by it is a voter. I mean, maybe the people that own the companies, but whatever. That's one vote for all of Amazon. Like, it doesn't matter. But it's not like you're going to be deporting a bunch of people that'd be voting right wing. They're immigrants. They shouldn't be allowed to vote anyway. So you expel all of them. Suddenly house prices go down. Suddenly wages go up. Suddenly people are seeing their government deliver to them. Suddenly some of these existential problems that we're facing will evaporate. They're being caused almost deliberately by the H-1B visa program. Totally unnecessary, totally fraudulent. If you want to set up a golden ticket system where it's like, okay, 100 people a year who are the best of the best in their various industries all over the world, okay, fine. Fine. We'll take 10 Indians. We'll take 3 Chinese people. We'll take 2 Africans. It's just like the best 2 Africans in Africa. They get to come over. Like, okay. But no, these companies are weaponizing this system to systematically replace all of their American workers with globally sourced scab workers, and it's destroying people's lives. End it. Just end the program. This is one of those things that it's like, do we have to debate this? What is even the argument? It's bad for American workers. It's bad for wages. It's bad for just immigration in general. We're not a cohesive country anymore. Like, it just needs to end. Same thing with like these Muslim cities that are being built, or there's some Hindu compound that's being built where they're going to have a statue that's taller than the Statue of Liberty. And it's like 100,000 people in this neighborhood. That's just going to be entirely Indians, Hindus. Like, we don't need to allow this. There's absolutely nothing requiring us to allow a bunch of foreigners to come create a colony in our country. What? Why would we ever allow? Why do we allow this? It really, I mean, there are so many things where it's just like, the government should just say, that's not allowed. Sorry. Whatever law needs to be written to disallow this, that's what needs to happen. H-1B visas need to be eliminated. Basically, all legal immigration needs to be massively curtailed. Illegal immigration needs to be eradicated. The soldiers need to come back home from Germany or wherever the hell else they're posted, not serving America's interests. They need to be deployed on American streets to deal with the literal invasion that we've been subjected to. Is any of this difficult to apprehend? Is any of this complicated, nuanced political machinations? Or do we just need to do what's right for our country and deal with whatever consequences happen as a result? Because in one way, we actually survive as a country. By not doing that, we're done. We're just done. And again, it's just exhausting going through the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm trying not to be, spoiled or whatever. Like, you know, I want to appreciate what's being revealed. But we know who the criminals are. We know the crimes they committed. We've known since 2016 everything we could possibly need to know about Russiagate collusion, about James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. What are we doing? What are we doing here? More articles. Jack Smith seized Trump's personal government-issued phone, subpoenaed his personal records during Arctic Frost investigation. Gee, maybe he should be in jail. Comey boomerang, ex-director confronted with personal emails, notes after playing victim card. So we now have email evidence showing that what we've known the whole time, that he was leaking information, that he lied under oath. Comey expected to work for President-elect Clinton. New top aide was talking to the media, again, according to emails. Just like we've laid out for the last 5 years, since I started doing American Journal, I keep telling people the reason they didn't cover up what they were doing was because they thought Clinton was going to be in office. They thought if, and see, it's actually interesting because they made the wrong calculus. They thought if we just do this stuff, then we'll win the election, Clinton will be in office, and then it won't matter that we broke the law to get to that outcome because she'll be in office, she'll cover up for us, the crimes will never come out, and we'll have succeeded. So that was a gamble. They risked a lot on the bet that Hillary Clinton would win. They lost that bet. It's time for that payment to come due. They committed crimes. They need to be sent to jail for this. They committed crimes in a way that was easily noticeable, easily trackable, like we know it all, because they were so confident. So we need to make, you know, we need to do the opposite. What we do, first of all, won't be illegal, won't be leaking things to the media that are from a, you know, the opposition campaign or to get the justification for the FISA warrants to spy on the people to try to find out the blackmail, you know, that we're going to use. Like, we don't need to do any of that. We don't need to do any of that. We need to end the filibuster. We need to totally revamp the voting system to be paper ballots and reliable and to remove the machines. We need to deport people at a massive rate. We need to do all of these things in the understanding that if we don't do it enough, if we don't succeed in this mission, the blowback will be hell because the Democrats will get back into power and literally start pogroms. So can we do it? Can we just do that already? Can we just make that effort, take that effort and just do it? It's not illegal. It's not unconstitutional. It's not authoritarian. It's what is necessary and demanded. Yeah, it's just confirmation of what we've told you the whole time. So here we are in the year 2025, learning what we somehow knew in 2017. I'm trying to be excited about it. I mean, I'm trying to be, wow, Arctic Frost, it's all getting blown up. But it's like, you know, we know. No, we know. No, we're aware. They've done all of this out in the open. All of their crimes are on the record. Just do something about it. Do something about it. Arrest these people. And it can be a snowball kind of operation. Once you arrest one of them, you put him in the hot seat. You say, you're going to jail for the rest of your life, John Brennan, unless you want to help us get the other people you were involved with. Unless you want to help us sort of shortcut through this investigation, take us to the kingpins, tell us who did what, or you're going to jail for the rest of your life. Do to them what they did to the Oath Keepers.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8, 9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, and as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're talking about Comey, Jack Smith, Arctic Frost. We'll go to some videos here that explain at least some of it. But this story from Just the News, in fact, we'll go to, I think I have a video of John Solomon sort of laying some of this out. We'll go to him and then we'll read into the details. Clip number 17, here's John Solomon talking about the explosive documents, the bombshell revelations that Comey did, in fact, leak to the media through some of his, you know, assistants. And this was discovered on an email server that was apparently, I don't even understand where they got these. I'll read, they found them in burn bags inside a secret safe inside the FBI headquarters. Just the weirdest story you've ever heard. Let's go to clip 17 now. This is John Solomon of Just the News breaking some of this down.
All right, let's get down to some big bombshell news that just moved a couple of minutes ago over at justthenews.com. We've been following the story of James Comey. He's indicted for lying to Congress, saying he never authorized any of his staff to leak to the media. And late last week, as we told you, he played the victim card. I'm being maliciously prosecuted because Donald Trump hates me. Well, today, the Cash Patel FBI and the lead attorney prosecuting his case, Lindsay Halligan, well, they responded, and they responded with a lot of evidence. What did they respond with? James Comey's own emails and his own handwritten notes. And what do they show? They show that James Comey was clearly aware that his top aide was providing information anonymously to the news media. Not only was he aware of it, he wrote in a private email, "Good job, my friend," actually congratulating him when Dan Richman, his one of his top lieutenants, told him what he had just done with the New York Times. Yes, just like the indictment said, the story is about Hillary Clinton's email, so it backs up the government's case that Comey was authorizing leaks to through his staff to reporters concerning a Hillary Clinton case, just like they argued. But they went a little bit further. It turns out that when Kash Patel found those burn bags in that secret room where a whole bunch of FBI evidence was sitting, they found something special, some handwritten notes by James Comey. What do those handwritten notes show? He appeared to be aware in September 2016 that of the U.S. intelligence intercept that Hillary Clinton had approved a plan to hang a fake Russian shingle on Donald Trump's house, campaign house. Now, that's important because the handwritten notes don't match with James Comey's testimony. James Comey told Congress, "That doesn't sound familiar. I don't think I ever knew about that." He wrote about it in his handwritten notes. And finally, one will ask, well, why would James Comey do this? What was the motive? Today's emails that were just released in the court filing give us one other answer. He wrote to Dan Richman, his lieutenant, that he fully expected soon to be working for President-elect Hillary Clinton. That's right from the emails. So he was waiting to work for Hillary Clinton, and he thought that Hillary Clinton would be grateful for the way he did things in handling her email case. Uh-oh, that wasn't what the victim card I think James Comey was planning to play. But all of that emails, all of those letters, all those court filings, even the handwritten notes, we just posted them at justthenews.com. You can go check them out today. We'll have more of that breaking news all throughout the night.
That's John Solomon of Just the News, the article at justthenews.com. James Comey played the victim card in fighting his indictment on charges of misleading Congress, but that strategy boomeranged when prosecutors in his old agency released an avalanche of new evidence showing that the ex-FBI director hoped to please Hillary Clinton, cheered on media leaks he claimed he did not sanction, and wrote emails and notes that directly conflict with his past congressional testimony. Part of the unflattering portrait of Comey, prosecutors revealed Monday, came from long-hidden files of the new FBI director, Kash Patel, found in burn bags and secret storage rooms at the Bureau's headquarters. The evidence included proof that Comey used a private email account to conduct FBI matters, including media strategy with a top lieutenant, at the same time his agency probed Clinton for improperly using her own private email for government business. Saying things like, "Perhaps you can make him smarter," Comey wrote in one email to FBI special government employee Daniel Richman, in which the two discussed trying to influence New York Times reporter about his coverage of the Clinton email scandal. And basically what happened was, yeah, this guy Richman, that was just, it almost seems like it was his mouthpiece in the media. And Richman is going, New York Times wants me to write an article sort of explaining your position. Do you want me to do that? And James Comey says, "No, I think it's okay. Hillary Clinton will understand. And, you know, once we work for her, you know, we'll be rewarded for what we did for her." But then, like, the coverage wasn't as friendly as he wanted, so he went back to him and said, "Yeah, maybe you can make him smarter. Maybe you should actually write that article and say what I want you to." Just literally directing this guy to write articles and what to say in it and what to leak. Just an abject violation of his sworn oath testimony in front of Congress. The cache of documents also includes a September 2016 handwritten note in which Comey appears to address U.S. intelligence intercepts about Clinton planning to manufacture a Russian scandal against Trump, something he told senators he didn't recall knowing. He had no idea. It's all a big accident. And some, I don't know, it just feels wrong to even, like, give credence to any of this. It's not complicated. James Comey, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, James Clapper, Mudd. Remember that guy, Mudd? Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe. These people conspired to rig an election. They conspired to spy on a candidate to prevent him from being elected. They covered it up by launching another investigation, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, try to stop him from uncovering all of the malfeasance they did. We know this. We've known this. We can go through the details, but it's like, how much more do we need? We now have handwritten notes from James Comey. Talk about being caught red-handed. In his own hand, we have evidence that contradicts what he said in Congress. At the very least, that is a rock-solid bombshell, knock-out-of-the-park, home-run case for lying to Congress, but that's not the real crime. That was a crime in pursuit of covering up the real crimes. The real crimes were trying to rig the election. We're coordinating with Hillary Clinton on the presumption that she would soon be in office. He tried to do illegal things to benefit her, thinking he would be repaid by his boss once she was elected. What are we doing? What are we doing? The same guy who's posting death threats to President Trump a month ago. What are we doing? And he's not even arrested. He's not even hauled into jail. Nobody raids his home. He's allowed to quietly sneak in the back door of his court appearance and then sneak out again before anybody gets a view on him. He should be in a yellow jumpsuit walking in circles in a courtyard for an hour a day while the rest of the day is spent in a single freezing cold room lit by a single fluorescent light bulb, like all of the other innocent people who were thrown in prison because they're terrorists for wandering through the Capitol. Why is he being treated with less severity than they are? Why is James Comey being treated better than the father of seven who was arrested for praying outside of an abortion clinic? Why are we not 6 months into a trial at this point? And the answer is because Trump is once again surrounded by traitors. Yeah, I'm not trying just to, you know, not be appreciative of what's coming out, but it's like, okay, who cares? Who cares about more evidence, more information, more evidence of the thing that we've known they're guilty? And this is a quote from his handwritten note. Quote, someday they will figure it out, and as parentheses, individual one and individual two point out, my decision will be one a president-elect Clinton will be very grateful for. Although that's not why I did it. Well, that's not why I did it, but President-elect Clinton will be very grateful for this decision I made. That is an admission of guilt. Okay? That's what that is. 100% that's what that is. As much as if he was being paid in cash for it, right? He did this in the expectation that he would be rewarded by his criminal partner, Hillary Clinton. In the same way that if he said, you know, they'll figure it out, but, you know, President Clinton will wire $1 million to my account. He was expecting a reward for breaking the law. And it shows what a miracle that Trump's election in 2016 truly was. And it honestly goes on and on. So this was all in response. Basically, Comey tried to get the whole case dismissed. He wanted the whole case dismissed with prejudice by saying this was a vindictive prosecution. The prosecution came back and said, for one thing, you haven't shown us any evidence that this is vindictive prosecution. You haven't showed us any cases of any other people who are in a similar situation to you that weren't prosecuted. That would indicate, you know, that you were being singled out, which, of course, all of these things apply to Donald Trump. So this is why it's just exhausting to talk about. Is it's like it's not even a question of whether what was done to Trump was deliberate, malicious prosecution. It just absolutely was. When you had the court case in Georgia and the case in New York and the other case in New York and the Jack Smith investigations and it's like none of that was justified. None of every single one of those things actually, I mean, it's just insane. Like it's like too much to even explain. It's too much. So they say like, Comey's argument is, quote, the government has singled out Mr. Comey for prosecution because of his protected speech and because President Trump's personal animus towards Mr. Comey. Comey's lawyers told the judge this in a court filing last month. Such a vindictive and selective prosecution violates the First Amendment, due process clause, and equal protection principles. The proper remedy for this unconstitutional prosecution is dismissal with prejudice. Any lesser remedy would be insufficient in light of the government's flagrant misconduct and need to deter the government from bringing further unconstitutional prosecutions. So they respond back. This prosecution is not vindictive. The defendant has not produced direct evidence of a vindictive motive. Now, think about this. Just take one example from one of the many trials that they subjected Trump to. Just take Letitia James. We can show you video after video after video after video of Letitia James admitting that she would selectively prosecute Donald Trump. on the campaign trail saying, elect me and I'll go after Donald Trump, saying I will do nothing but go after Donald Trump. Literally. I mean, she didn't say, like, Trump's a criminal and therefore needs to be held to account. She said, elect me, I'll go into the office in the morning, I'll sue Donald Trump, I'll go home. That's what I'll do all day, every day. Okay, so if you're talking about malicious prosecution, we've already fulfilled the first requirement, knowledge of, evidence of a vindictive motive. Because they announced it, they advertised that they had a vindictive motive. They continue, he has not shown that the prosecutor pursued this case solely to punish him for exercising his First Amendment rights. Again, I would say that take any of Trump's lawsuits, but particularly sticking with the Letitia James one, she admitted it. She said it. She advertised that this was to punish Trump. So he's not carried the heavy burden of establishing vindictive prosecution. The prosecution is also not selective. The defendant has not identified similarly situated individuals who were not prosecuted. Something that would be not just so easy to find in the case of all of Trump's cases, again, sticking with Letitia James. Nobody has ever been prosecuted for what Trump was prosecuted then. What he was prosecuted for was nothing, was literally nothing. No, it was actually nothing. It was a loan that he paid back. She went back to find this old loan that the bank didn't have a problem with, that the bank did due diligence on, and said when he was making this agreement with the bank, he overestimated the cost of Mar-a-Lago, which isn't even true in the first place. It's like the pricing was accurate. The price sheet that they gave them, let them know, had an amendment saying, by the way, it's up to you to verify this information. We think this is what it's worth, but it's up to you to do your due diligence. And if you think it's otherwise, then let us know. Bank didn't do that. Bank didn't have a problem with the collateral. The loan was paid off. And then in comes Letitia James 20 years later, getting elected by saying, I'm going to go after Trump, and then finding this one example of something that she can twist. It's so far beyond anything recognizable in the judicial corpus. Like, it's crazy. So again, this is why it's exhausting to have to go through this over and over. It's because, like, everything they say is a projection. Everything they claim Trump is doing, they've already done over and over and over again. For some reason, it's, you know, James Comey's able to make these arguments, and hell, the judge may even decide on James Comey's behalf. I mean, hell, even though we have it in his own handwriting, admitting to what he's doing, admitting to things that he later claimed under oath he didn't do, they might still say, yeah, but Trump did an interview one time where he said he didn't like Comey. Therefore, Comey can never be prosecuted for anything ever. Who knows? That may be how it works out. Because if the law actually meant anything, if we were actually a constitutional republic under the rule of law, Letitia James would already be in prison, the case would have never made it, and James Comey would long ago be rotting behind bars. But instead, he's going to try to play these games, and we're just going to present overwhelming evidence, and hopefully that matters at a certain point. Hopefully something actually happens eventually. Not exactly holding my breath. Jack Smith seized Trump's government-issued phone, subpoenaed his personal records during Arctic Frost investigation. Again, we're learning more and more about Arctic Frost. First, it was 20 senators and congressmen are being surveilled. Then it was a couple hundred. And then actually, it also involved journalists and Alex Jones and, you know, lawyers that had something to do with something tangentially related to January 6th. And it's just like, okay, do we need the details, or can we just say as a blanket statement, the Democrats with Jack Smith at the head, but Alejandro Mayorkas was in on this, Merrick Garland was in on this, Joe Biden was in on this, probably Kamala Harris was in on this, and they all just conspired to work together to mass surveil everybody on the right wing in an effort to destroy them. Like, can we just say that and accept that and then act like that's the case? Because that is the case, okay? This should be just the easiest stuff. This should just be knock it out of a park. Simplicity itself. And it's you know, whatever. I feel bad just like repeating myself over and over. I know people get bored, but it's like, y'all, Biden actually did this to us. This already happened to the right wing. The right wing, every lawyer Trump ever had has been arrested. They arrested everybody from Jenna Ellis to Rudy Giuliani to Sidney what's-her-name to Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Like, they already did this. So what are we doing? What are we doing here? It's so disequal. It's so beyond unequal. They actually committed these crimes. They actually committed treason. They've actually taken our entire country to the brink of total destruction by opening the border and rigging the election in the way that they did. They already did it. And they were persecuting Trump and anybody who supported him when we didn't even do anything. These people have committed treason. They have committed these crimes, and we can't treat them the same. What the hell? Let's go to clip 21 here. Apparently, Biden had a list of like 700 enemies on the right wing, with 12 in particular, with asterisks next to it, saying these are supposed to be neutralized. That word neutralized coming up again. Gee, I wonder what that means. Let's go to clip 21. This is from Lindell TV.
Now, in breaking news over the weekend, and this just came in, the absolute truth has learned of a document that was created during the Biden regime in preparation for a consecutive second term for Joe Biden, which ultimately would have been Kamala Harris, right, if they'd had their way, that included 700 names of Americans that they planned to target, with 12 with stars by them that they specifically wanted neutralize, to use a buzzword of late. Now, these 700 Americans were going to be targeted for pushing out of the country, for silencing, whatever means necessary. This is a developing story, and I will have more on this week. But of course, it comes on the heels of more revelations from Congress on the Arctic Frost investigation that targeted the likes of Mike Lindell, Rudy Giuliani, Kurt Olson, Alex Jones, and many of the people that you see right here on this show. And for more on that, let's bring in our White House correspondent, Kara Castronova, that's standing by on the North Lawn on the White House. Kara, this information was given to me because I was told that my name is on this list, which is no surprise to me. I haven't really detailed what I went through in the 4 years of the Biden regime, this kind of surveillance that I experienced. You and I have talked about it a little bit because you were one of the brave reporters who really stuck up for the J6ers. You would go and report honestly on their cases and what happened that day and much more of the weaponization you reported on by the Biden regime. And you, too, had similar experiences in the way of surveillance. It's more receipts, but it's not shocking. And in fact, we're going to learn more even about Arctic Frost this week, it sounds like, as well. Correct, Kara?
It's true. A lot more information is coming out about Arctic Frost and all of the surveillance on regular Americans. Since the beginning, when Arctic Frost came out and I saw Mike Lindell's name on there, Rudy Giuliani and others, I knew that there was more to it, that there would be more people on that list. A lot of regular Americans, journalists like you, Emerald, or other similar lists. I was always suspicious. I was on one myself because very suddenly after January 6th, my internet presence virtually disappeared. I was canceled on certain apps that I couldn't use on the cell phone. The FBI visited my house 2 times. So a number of things happened to me to point that out to the fact that I was on a list. And I did consult with certain attorneys that said the only way that my websites would be taken down in this manner and my Shopify accounts and being canceled on social media that was that I was certainly on a government watch list and that I should FOIA or ask for a Privacy Act request about myself, which I did during the Biden administration. And I was rejected because of ongoing investigations or they just simply didn't answer my request, which, as you know, is illegal. So now my curiosity is definitely up there where I will probably file another FOIA or a Privacy Act on myself and others like you, Emerald, that have been targeted by this surveillance by the Biden administration.
I agree. I think it's time to do so again. I'm not sure that we'll get our answers. We perhaps might still be stonewalled based on some of the cases like the Seth Rich laptop. We've seen Ty Clevenger, the attorney in that case, still having to kind of fight against FBI stonewalling. And I want to hone in on what you just said, because you revealed that the FBI showed up to your house 2 different times during the Biden years. What were they looking for, Kara?
So that was Mike Lindell, The Absolute Truth was the show. Now, I haven't been able to find any more about, I guess the crew has, Biden admin enemy list targeted hundreds of Republicans. So I suppose that's what they're talking about. I haven't been able to find any more about specifically the 700 people and the 12 people, you know, slated for neutralization. Obviously, she mentioned Alex Jones there. And she said there's some overlap with Arctic Frost, but I haven't been able to find any more information about this other than what we just saw. Maybe if the crew can find something, or, you know, people can call in and let us know what's going on here. But obviously, Arctic Frost was a lot more sweeping and all-inclusive than we previously expected. And includes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of right-wing activists, as well as, you know, elected officials. From Gateway Pundit, Jack Smith seized Trump's government-issued phone. Arctic Frost was a taxpayer-funded Biden DOJ witch hunt launched in April 2022 that seized government-issued cell phones belonging to Trump and Pence while conducting a barrage of interviews across the country. In 2020, Trump alternate electors prompted the Biden DOJ to open the Arctic Frost investigation into Trump and hundreds of other individuals and organization. Oh, yeah, this is an important part. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley recently revealed that a former special counsel, Jack Smith, targeted the entire Republican apparatus because of whistleblowers, by the way, because of whistleblowers. This didn't come out of this didn't come from Cash Patel. This didn't come from anybody in the Trump administration. This came from a whistleblower inside the organizations exposing this to Chuck Grassley. So I don't even know if you can. Yeah, this is the only article I found on it, and it doesn't have any information. It just repeats what we saw there. So I don't know where that number is coming from, or where the neutralization quote is coming from. But Chuck Grassley says, I've obtained through legally protected whistleblower disclosures during a press conference on Wednesday, 197 subpoenas were issued by Jack Smith and his team. These subpoenas were issued to 34 individuals and 163 businesses, including financial institutions. And Trump called out the dirty dealings that were behind this. This was a whistleblower. This wasn't even, you know, a Trump appointee finding this out. This wasn't a Trump investigation that led to the revelation of Arctic Frost. This was like, so at this point, I guess the future of our nation relies on incompetence in the FBI, not burning the bags of evidence that they thought they were supposed to burn. Instead, we're going Easter egg hunting in the headquarters of the FBI looking for, you know, evidence of their crimes and finding it, apparently, and then whistleblowers inside the organization exposing this to senators. Is this what we're relying on to get our country back on track? Accidents and coincidences? It's absurd. We'll be right back.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows, because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
No! receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.